Sometimes you conduct preliminary experiments to learn what you're doing wrong and to design better experiments. I'm going to tell you about some of the things that I did wrong and some of the things that other people did right. Owen Houston is our go-to do-it-everything sort of guy in Cymru. He's our farm manager. Maribel Gordon and Ryan are research entomologists in the Southern Insect Management Research Unit. Our interest in studying Bavaria's control for Liagus is influenced by the economic importance of the pest and a need for alternative controls. Dr. Snodgrass's 25 years of study of Liagus biology and ecology is a foundation for this work. Jared Leland's methodical screening of Bavaria isolates about 10 years ago and the identification of NI8, which has at least tenfold more activity against Liagus, is also an important step in this process. Additional ecological studies by Todd Eugene and recent investigations by Maribel Portilla and Gordon Snodgrass are building on this work. Maribel and Gordon continue to work together to systematically understand the infectivity of the NIH strain and to target specific populations of Liagus, like overwintering diapausing adults on unique host plants. So Gordon and Ryan have been studying this in cotton. This is kind of a first step sort of effort to see what we could do to target the source of insects colonizing that cotton. Over the past 15 years, there have been numerous studies of Bavaria as a control agent for Liagus on cotton. Some with very positive results, like Don Steinkraus and Phil Tuggle's work in Arkansas in the late 1990s. Steinkraus and Teague and others have investigated the use of Bavaria and Novaluron in a trap crop system for Liagus in northeast Arkansas. They compared different Bavaria strains, including some from Jared Leland's lab, and they concluded that mixtures of Bavaria with Novaluron were really promising controls for tarnished plant bugs. In our 2012 studies that I'm going to discuss, the NIH strain was applied to cotton, corn, and soybean at a dose of 1 times 10 to the 9th spores per acre. A companion study conducted by Dr. Snodgrass and Dr. Jackson applied NI8 at a dose of 8 times 10 to the 12th spores, or 8,000-fold that I used in this mustard study. The graphs here show residual infectivity of Bavaria bassiana leaves excised from sprayed field plots against one-day-old adults held for 24 hours on the leaves and then transferred to a meridic diet developed by Dr. Portilla. And they were observed over about a three-week period of time. Note that residual infection reached 25% in the Bavaria and Bavaria plus Novaluron treatments. Total mortality was 20 to 30% greater than that of the unsprayed leaves. This infection would not include that due to direct impingement of bugs from the atomized spray. Yields in this companion study, conducted by Snodgrass, a replicated experiment in 5-acre plots, was greatest in the Bavaria plus Novaluron treatments. Plots treated with Bavaria alone or untreated had less yield. So with this background information of this companion experiment in 5-acre plots treated with the NI8 strain at 8 times 10 to 12 spores per acre, we conducted a preliminary first-year field experiment with small plots to investigate the possible application of lower doses, 1 times 10 to the 9th, to tarnish plant bug in tassel stage corn and flowering soybean prior to their colonization of cotton. Strips of mustard were planted across a 10-acre test area on March the 29th. The purpose was to build tarnished plant bug numbers in the test area. 8-row strips of cotton bordered by 4-row strips of corn or soybean were planted between the 4-row mustard strips and divided into research plots 120 feet long. Within each quadrant of the field study, an individual replicate included 5 insecticide treatments, an untreated check, Bavaria alone, Bavaria plus Novaluron, diamine alone and an orthene check as an insecticide standard. I'll show you a few pictures. This shows the cotton emerging alongside the corn that was planted earlier. There's a picture of the mustard at that point when the cotton was emerging. Here's a picture of the flowering mustard. As Tina and I were discussing yesterday, there are a lot of pollinators in this mustard. You can see the tassel stage corn beside. This is right before the mustard was cut to release the plant bug numbers. There's a picture of soybean, cotton, and mustard right before the mustard was cut. So the mustard strips were cut on June the 15th. The five insecticide treatments were applied to the border crops, corn and soybean, on June the 18th and June the 28th. Following colonization of cotton by tarnished plant bug, all plots, corn, soybean, and cotton, were treated on July the 5th and July the 24th. Leaf tissue from the untreated and Bavaria treatments was assayed as it was in the Snodgrass Companion Study and held for observation on Maribel's Meritic Diet. Each plot was sampled for insects using sweep net, beet net, drop cloth samples before and after treatments. An early harvest of open bowls was done on August the 28th, and mechanical harvest and collection of plots per box mapping of yield by node location was completed on September the 28th. We also routinely plant map the plants after each treatment. Estimates of tarnished plant bug nymph, adult, and total numbers per acre made assuming equal efficacy of sampling methods. In other words, area sampled was equal to the diameter of the sweep net or length of the drop cloth. Estimates for total numbers in mustard were at least 35,000 per acre when the mustard was cut. Densities in soybean increased dramatically following the removal of the mustard as a host and peaked at about the date of the first application. Numbers in soybean declined over the following 10 days. Densities in corn, estimated by beet net sampling of the tassels, so this is what we found in the tassels, peaked at about 3,500 bugs per acre after the destruction of the mustard and continued for about 2 weeks. Densities in cotton reached about 6,000 per acre and continued over the next 6 weeks. Differences among the five treatments were not significant in soybean or corn, although numbers in all plots declined following the initiation of sprays. The middle group is actually the date of the first application. Densities in cotton were not detected. Insect densities in cotton were not detected prior to initiation of spraying, but were evident after treatment of the border crops. The untreated check had numbers greater than some treatments on June the 27th, but these differences were significant only at P equals 0.1. Infection of sprayed leaves from corn, soybean, and cotton peaked at about 15 to 18%, about half that observed in the Snodgrass study that used the higher dose. Although infection rates were low, those in cotton appeared to be slightly greater than those in the corn or soybean. The data presented are averages across sample dates, and Tina, as you and Dr. Steinkraus reported, we do get contamination in the untreated chick also. Observations of total mortality across time followed a pattern similar to the infestation data, and there was about a 10 to 20% difference between insects held on check leaves versus those held on the Bavaria leaves, indicating there is some residual activity at this low dose. Plant mapping data accumulated information on first position fruit over time. These graphs show comparisons among the five treatments and the two border crops. A few interactions among treatments and border crops were found, but are not shown due to the complexity of the analysis, and the general trends were for major factor effects among border crops or treatments. For plant maps in June, prior to cotton sprays, fruit retention in the untreated check was less than that of the treated plots. Cotton plots bordering soybean appeared to have slightly more early fruit than those bordering corn. More variability among treatments was observed in July, but the data shown here for total fruit per plant, which may actually mask the early season effects, it may be due to plant compensation. Some of the additional fruit probably was associated with the loss of early fruit. It would have been better if I had plotted actually flowers and bowls on those graphs. But this kind of illustrates a point. At the first hand harvest of open bowls on August the 28th, slightly more bowls were open in Bavaria plus diamond plots on your lower left, the white area of that graph, than in the Bavaria alone or untreated plots. Totals were significant at P equals 0.1, but not at 0.05, in cotton plots bordered by corn. A similar trend was noted in the harvest of early season bowls in cotton plots bordered by soybean. The numbers in soybean were slightly higher than those bordered by corn. Total yield of open bowls on August the 28th showed a weak significant interaction between border crop and insecticide, with Bavaria plus diamond treatments in soybean being greater than the untreated plots bordered by corn. There were no differences between cotton bordered by corn or cotton bordered by soybean at this time. Machine harvest of plots on September the 28th showed no difference among insecticide treatments, saying you've got to be careful when you measure these effects, but significantly greater yield in cotton plots bordered by soybean. The early plant mapping indicated a slight increase in retention of fruit in cotton plots bordered by soybean over those bordered by corn. And soybean appeared to attract and hold most of the tarnished plant bugs released from the mustard. While there may certainly be some trap crop influence of soybean, it was not detected by our standard insect sampling data. Interestingly, bowl size was greater for harvested bowls from cotton bordering soybean on both the first and final harvest. We wonder if the design of these small plot studies could have influenced light reaching the bordering cotton plants. Perhaps the corn shaded some of these plots. I don't know what the effect is due to. Final box mapping of fruit by node position and estimated days post-cotyledonary node showed higher yields and more fruit in plots treated with diamond or ornithine. Yield in cotton bordered by soybean was significantly higher than that bordered by corn. So, like I said, you have experiments to have other experiments. This is just a preliminary effort to look at the potential impact of treating non-cotton hosts with Bavaria. As expected, mobility of tarnished plant bug adults impacted the experimental results in these small plots. It's very difficult to demonstrate population suppression in small plots with these mobile insects. But if you study the data, you can get some ideas for the future, maybe. However, the study provided some insight into tarnished plant bug management. Small plots, 8 rows by 120 row feet, do not appear to be large enough to measure impacts on tarnished plant bug control. Measurements of plant response appeared to be more sensitive measurements than insect sampling. Bavaria bassiana, the NIH strain, needs to be applied at doses much greater than 1 times 10 to the 9th spores per acre. Mustard is an effective tool for building tarnished plant bug populations. Flowering soybean may serve as a short-term trap for tarnished plant bug adults. Residual activity of Bavaria bassiana may vary on different hosts. CIMRU will continue this field research effort, but in larger plots and higher doses of Bavaria. Thank you. Questions?
20 seconds for a question, I guess.
A good one. Yeah. Bigger is better. So the real problem, the real reason we were doing this is producing this isolate of fungus is very expensive. So these treatments that went out were literally hundreds of dollars per acre, or maybe thousands of dollars per acre in cost, total cost of the experimental materials out there. So all I would say is in Dr. Snodgrass's plots that were 5 acre squares, and when the sampling was done in the middle of the plot, we could measure differences. But we may have underestimated some of the differences also.